All right, welcome to Planning Commission. We will start with any public comments. No public comments. We will move to the public hearing, consideration of a plat amendment for Eaglewood Cove Phase 13, combining lots 1302 and 1303 and vacating a public utility easement located at 715 and 699 South Tanglewood Loop. Sherry.
Okay, so this is the combination of lots 1302 and 1303 in Eaglewood Cove Phase 13 and vacating the public utility easement on the old property line. I thought I had a slide that showed the plat, and apparently I didn't, so sorry about that. There were just a few minor red lines. They need some corrections to the notes so that they would have the right notes on it from the original. And they're not extending the buildable area, so they're basically just combining the two buildable areas. And I think this is not going to be the last one of these because they tend to sell in twos, apparently, and people want even more land. So we'd probably be seeing this throughout the project as we go on. Anyway, the DRC is making a favorable recommendation with the corrections of the engineering and planner red lines for the lot combination of 1302 and 1303 of Eaglewood Coast Subdivision Phase 13.
Great, thank you. Any questions or comments from the commission? Or a motion?
Commissioner Stone, I move that Planning Commission recommend to the City Council approval of the plat amendment combining Eaglewood Cove Subdivision Phase 13 lots 1302 and 1303 and vacating a public utility easement on the property located at 715 South Tanglewood Loop with the following condition.
Wait, hang on. I have to do a public hearing really quickly.
Oh.
Then we'll do that.
Okay.
All right. We are going to open the public hearing.
Reverse.
There are no public comments, so we will close the public hearing, and then we will go back to Commissioner Stone. Sorry about that. Do it again.
Okay. Commissioner Stone, I move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council approval of the plat amendment combining Eaglewood Cove Subdivision Phase 13 lots 1302 and 1303 and vacating a public utility easement on the property located at 715 South Tanglewood Loop with the following condition, correction of engineering and planner red lines.
Thank you, Commissioner Stone. Do we have a second?
Second, Commissioner Moss.
Thank you. Any comments on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And the motion passes. All right, we will move to agenda item 4, Training Open and Public Meeting Act.
So for those of you who haven't met Wendy Page, she's our city recorder. So she's here to do this training. It's an annual requirement that all public bodies be trained once a year in the Open and Public Meetings Act, and it's on a fiscal year, so this is the last meeting of the fiscal year, and so that's why we're having it tonight. So I will turn it over to her.
So I really wanted to make this fun, so you'll see some silly things, but you also may see some things that sound a lot alike, so we're going to learn what the code says tonight. I can't give you one of the answers yet, but we're going to do it in a little different format. So no devices allowed to get your answers. Go ahead and turn over your papers if you haven't already. And we're going to go through it kind of together, but you'll circle your answer on your paper. So, for instance, is everybody ready? No devices. Quiz time. Number one. No, you can turn your papers over, get your pens ready to mark your answers, but I'm going to read question one with you. So, number one, the legislative intent of the Open and Public Meetings Act is for public bodies to deliberate and act how. You circle the answer you think is correct on your paper, and then we'll review the correct answer. Oh, is yours filled in?
No.
Like, what did I do? All right. So, any good guesses? Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. They're all so good.
They're all correct.
The key, they're all so good. The key is what the code says. So, the answer is C, openly, and the code is 52-4102, that the public bodies take their actions openly and conduct their deliberations openly. So that is why it's called the Open and Public Meetings Act, I think. I don't really know, but it sounds really good. But... but there are a lot of things talked about being transparent, and that's part of it, right? But this is what the code says. All right, number two, you're going to circle your best answer for how is a quorum defined, and this is the key word, defined in the Open and Public Meetings Act. Those all might be great definitions. All right. Anybody want to venture with their answer?
I want to play.
And guess what, Ryan? You are correct. A is the right answer. A simple majority of the membership of a public body is how it's defined in the Open and Public Meetings Act. So I kind of put the city's public bodies on here. So to give you an idea, the city council has 5 members, so 3 of them need to be present to have it be a meeting. We had something happen, I don't know what, maybe a month or two ago. The Health and Wellness Committee, everybody, we were having a meeting, we noticed a meeting, they all got here. There were only 2, and they needed 3 to be able to hold that meeting. So we just had to cancel and or not really cancel, we just had to go home and say, we'll talk about this stuff next month. So it's just really important to have a quorum here. If you can't be at the meeting, let somebody know so that, you know, we don't have that situation that happened last time at the Health and Wellness Committee group. Okay, number 3, how soon do approved minutes need to be posted for the public? So take your best guess and tell me what you think. Anybody want to venture? Did I hear an answer?
Close.
I'll share. I didn't hear if Irene, were you giving me an answer? Between A and C, I love it. And the answer is A. Within 3 business days. So you guys approved or will approve some minutes tonight. And 3 days from now, we'll have them posted on the city's website, the public notice website, all things public to the world so that all can know what happened in those meetings. Okay, next question, number 4. What is a justifiable reason you may hold a closed meeting? Has this body ever held a closed meeting? No. I don't think it's very common.
You want to close the meeting after church.
Well, you have to have a justifiable reason for having a closed meeting, so let's see if you get the right one. Well, now you're 1 for 4. It is D, a strategy session to discuss pending or reasonable imminent litigation. And on here, I've got the code reference for all the reasons that a closed meeting may be held. And there's, you'll notice there's no B on the list quite yet, because that is for collective bargaining. So that doesn't really apply to municipalities. and neither do G through T. But this Open and Public Meetings Act is for all boards and bodies of, could be the state health department, could be the, you know, school boards. All of those bodies have to comply with this act. And so most of those other reasons are for them.
Unless the Planning Commission decides to unionize, then we may need to
do collective bargaining. Okay, so let's see. Brandon's on a roll now. We're going to see how he does. Number 5, how much time is required to notice a public meeting? How much time do we have to let the public know we're going to have a meeting? They are tricky, aren't they? It is D. And I loved that the code said all of those different things, not less than, for at least. Right? So it's at least 24 hours. There is an exception. If you need to hold an emergency meeting, then you can have less time. And that's spelled out in the code. But this is the general synopsis, at least 24 hours. And the Planning Commission and the City Council are the two that we provide the public an annual meeting schedule for. We have other groups and committees and boards citywide, but they don't have a regular schedule like the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month, if that makes sense. So, number 6, how often is a public body required to be trained on the Open and Public Meetings Act? And if anybody says C, I know. Don't you guys have to take this training before you can even begin? I don't know. No? Okay. I wasn't sure. It might be specific training for this body, for the Planning Commission. I'm not certain, but yeah. You are required to have annual training. And in the code, it says the presiding officer of the public body shall ensure that members of the public body are provided with annual training. So thank you, Brianna, for letting me be on your agenda tonight. All right, number 7. What is something that does not need to be recorded in the official minutes? Good job. Now we're all getting it, right? D. I am so grateful that it is not verbatim, because that would be a nightmare for the recorder. But yeah, so it doesn't have to be verbatim, just the substance of the matter and a brief summary. Okay, which of these is not a requirement for electronic meetings? We're going with D. All right, so I'll give you a little clue. It's not D. But that is good that you noticed it, because that was new legislation last year, not this year. Yeah, so last year in 2022, the legislature defined in there that you do have to have, if it's not unanimous vote, so like if you're all in different places and you say all in favor or whatever, and people vote aye, and you hear a nay in there, then you would have to take a roll call vote to distinguish who voted which way, because they might not be able to see you or whatever. But the answer for this question, it's not a requirement to B, always have an anchor location. Now, that's because you'll notice there's an exception. 4A gives an except. And The exception is in 5, if the chair determines that conducting the meeting presents a substantial risk to the health and safety of those present or would otherwise be present at the anchor location, then they can decide to not have an anchor location. And that was kind of during COVID, right? That was the reason they decided and changed this, was to make it possible that you don't have to. But in order to get that exception, the chair has to make a public statement. So usually it would be the mayor who would say, you know what, for the next 30 days, we're going to hold all meetings electronically, and here's how the public could attend. So you, there are things you have to do to apply this exception, but you don't always have to have an anchor location, but you should if you can.
If you'll remember, when we were having all of the meetings electronically, every month we had to have, and I think it was when Ted was the chair, he had to read that little statement at the mm-hmm. beginning of the meeting that said, this is why we don't have an anchor location, because...
Yeah, there are three things you have to say why.
Public health, yeah.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Sherry. Okay, number 9. Which of these would not be a public meeting regulated by the Open and Public Meetings Act? D. You guys are on it now. And code says that this chapter or the Open and Public Meetings Act does not apply to any chance meeting or a social gathering. The trick is, and what we encourage public bodies not to do, is talk about city business while they're at Liberty Fest, if everybody's there and a quorum is present, right? It's not a meeting we have to notice to the public, but they should not be taking action or deliberating with a quorum in those events, right? So, and even group texting about city issues really should not be done. It should be happening here. So, all right. What must be included on an agenda? All right. Process of elimination. It is a reasonable specificity about the topics to be considered, and that's so that the public has an idea what you're going to be talking about, to see if they have any interest in coming to the meeting. But if you just say, oh, we're going to talk about a conditional use permit, they have no idea where, what for. So that's why there's a lot of language, especially on your guys' agendas and city council agendas, as to what those topics are. Yeah. Oh, I didn't really mean for this to be on here, but it's here. So, ta-da! You guys are the first group to get the bonus question. If anybody gets it right, you get a prize. Let's see what it is. Oh, what is the criminal penalty for closed meeting violation? Does anybody know? With which one? B. You don't think there's any criminal penalty. All right. I love it. Keep those. C. It is a Class B misdemeanor if you're in violation or found to be in violation of an Open and Public Meetings Act. Okay, well, it's okay. You all get a prize anyway because you participated in this training. And even if you didn't get 100%, if you were to take it again next week, I bet you would. Are there any questions? A lot of times, and this is what I like to point out too, is the reason why we hold this training annually is because the legislature meets annually and they change things up, just like they did, you know, through COVID and some of those electronic meetings. They're still fine-tuning it every year. They change things. This year, some of the things that they changed really didn't apply to municipalities. They're making school boards now allow for public comments during their meetings. That's one of the changes that they made this year. And there were some changes in how public meetings need to be noticed. So that was in there, but that really doesn't apply to you. It applies to me and getting the word out properly. And there were some technical changes in electronic meetings and things like that, but that's why I didn't have anything new, really. So we just did a quiz as a refresher. So hopefully you guys had fun, and I have a prize for you.
I will prepare a certificate. So if you sit on any other boards that need proof that you've participated in annual training, our auditors need proof that you did. But even if you didn't get 100%, you're still one slash.
I didn't bring my cheat sheet, so I missed one.
Oh.
Even though it was just last week.
I know. And he did take it last week.
She could share it with somebody.
Oh.
Maybe somebody at your house.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
You can take it home.
You can take it home.
They're delicious.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. All right. Agenda item 5, report on city council action items.
So we didn't have any planning commission items on the last city council meeting. It was a rare meeting where I had very few things on the agenda, so that was nice to get and sit back, but it was a really long meeting because Karen had lots of agenda items for bid awards on all the street reconstruction all over the city that's going to be going on after July 1st. So super exciting. Stay tuned for your neighborhood getting fixed. Yeah. So I am going to just wanted to remind you that Liberty Fest is this weekend. On Saturday is the in the morning is the races, the 5K races, but now they're in miles or something. I can't remember how they're doing them. But then there's the big bubble thing and the other kids' events that morning, and then the car show Saturday night up at the golf course. And awesome. That will be exciting, then we'll come see it. And then on Monday is the fireworks display, and it's going to be bigger than last year's. Hopefully we won't set the golf course on fire this year like we did last year, but they spent $10,000 more on fireworks this year, so it should be really nice. The general plan RFP will be going out next week, so we should be moving forward on hiring a consultant for that. We had our market study and consultants here last week for 2 days interviewing business owners, developers, and brokers in the area, and it was really interesting to hear everybody's perspectives and learn some new things. And I think that that report's going to be really valuable to the Planning Commission, so that when we get projects like the one up here on 130 East and we're talking about the commercial on the main floor, we know what we want to target and we know what's realistic and what isn't realistic. So I'm really excited to see some results out of that, and that should be within another 6 to 8 weeks we'll have the report. So super exciting, and it was a really fun time. Other than that, that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Thank you. All right, and approval of the minutes from 6:13. Any adjustments to the minutes? All right, who's going to make the motion if Ron's not here? I'm just going to sit here all night. All right, we can do a motion if there's no adjustments.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for the June 16th meeting.
Thank you. And do we have a second?
Commissioner Holbrook, second.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. and we are adjourned. Excellent work.
And Mackenzie will be back at your next planning commission meeting.
Are you serious?
She's going to come back on the 10th, so she'll be back at work on the 10th. I can't believe how fast it's
gone.
Oh
my gosh.
Because she just, I thought I was guessing when she'd be back, and then we talked and she's like, I need to come back. I need to see people. So she's coming back on July 10th. So that's why I put an X on it, because we don't have to count that week. So, yay.